Hello, and welcome to another episode of MK Crypto Diaries. I am your host, Dr. Justine Sherry Herrera, and we are recording this episode today, the 23rd of June, 2023. Today, we will be speaking about the EU Digital Euro Project. What does the EU's Digital Euro Project actually look like? What are the key design elements being discussed by the EU Commission? Why was the recently leaked Digital Euro Bill's proposed date moved, and why was it put on hold? Also, many are asking, since we already have efficient payment systems in Europe, what is the point, really, of the Digital Euro Project? Here with us to speak about the Digital Euro Project, and also the recently leaked Digital Euro Bill, is Maria Sáenz de Buruaga. Maria is currently a senior strategy consultant on digital finance at Deloitte Madrid and is also a research fellow at the Digital Euro Association, which association is a think tank specializing in crypto assets, stablecoins, and CBDCs. So thank you so much for joining the conversation, Maria. I know you have been involved quite heavily in the area of the digital euro space for quite a while, and I'd like to sort of open a bit lightly on this topic. Can you first of all give us a definition of what a CBDC is, so central bank digital currency, and how this differs from cash, stable coins, commercial bank money, and other notable forms of value used for payments?
Yes, of course. So CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, will represent a digital version of cash. That means that it's a sovereign currency, a liability of the central bank, and also a public money. Usually when I say this, many people tell me that they already have a digital version of cash, referring to commercial bank money. But actually, commercial bank money is not a sovereign money, but a sovereign-backed money, and it's a liability of a commercial bank in favor of a depositor. That's the main difference between CBDCs and commercial bank money. And then we have the other aspect, which is it different from stablecoins? And there, I think, there is a relevant difference, because CBDCs are issued by central banks, while stablecoins are private forms of value, which are neither sovereign currency nor sovereign-backed currencies, and they usually belong to a private company. That is why we cannot refer to them as equivalents to CBDCs. The thing, and I think is the main idea here, is that the context between physical and digital forms of money is entering the end game, and attention is turning to the nascent battle between digital forms of value in the digital era. And given that the cash is declining as a means of payment, I think that many central banks are exploring a new way in order to somehow safeguard the monetary anchor of public money in the system.
Mm-hmm. Completely agreed. So sort of we're seeing this tension rising and this battle between private issuers and public money, and sort of these ethical questions, if central banks and government should retain control, or should we give the open free market a say in all of this. So it's quite interesting to see both perspectives. And now we've seen sort of central bank digital currencies slowly start to begin to gain traction, and countries worldwide are engaging in their development. And this all, of course, started with the inception of decentralized finance, and notably the rise of stablecoins. Would you be able to please shed some light on the global landscape of CBDC projects, and also if any of these projects are actually live, active, and being used?
Yes, of course. I think we have more than 80% of central banks exploring the issuance of a CBDC, both for retail or wholesale motivations. And indeed, we have relevant developments, I would say, happening in China, in the European Union as well, also in the UK, according to latest developments, or even in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And in a nutshell, I would say that China is at the forefront of the CBDC race. Mm-hmm. However, unfortunately, we have limited access to the information of what's happening there. Mm-hmm. The European Union, on the other hand, is doing also relevant progress. We are moving step by step closer to the, at least to the assessment of whether we need or we don't need a CBDC in the euro area. And then we have the US, which I would say that is being more cautious in the sense that it's first exploring the whole panorama and then assess whether they want to move forward with retail or wholesale CBDCs. And also, I would like to point out that even though many countries are exploring CBDCs, it's true that most projects are still under development or pilot phases. Mm-hmm. And those which have been actually launched have yet to become mainstream in their respective payment ecosystem because they are also facing some concerns from citizens when it comes to, for instance, privacy concerns or issues.
Okay, amazing. I know that's a nice overview. So a lot of different sort of, some are in development, some are live, some are just research-based, different stages. That's what I'm looking for, depending on the country and the jurisdiction. And also reflects the culture of the countries. So obviously, China is communist, yeah, and they have pushed forward and they can do so. US is very large and very complex and political, so they're taking it slow. I think there's a Marshall Islands as well. I heard they also have a CBDC and it's being adopted, and they actually have a use case over there because they actually needed it. But I'm excited to see what's going to happen in the digital euro space, and we'll speak about that a bit later on. I'd just like to mention SWIFT on the landscape or the area of CBDC projects. Now, SWIFT is a global member-owned cooperative that functions as a huge messaging system for over 11,000 banks worldwide. And these seem to have also entered the CBDC space. According to a paper published by SWIFT on October 2022, titled Connecting Digital Islands, so quote, 9 out of 10 central banks have been actively exploring digital currencies, but their focus has been largely on domestic usage. Now, interoperability is a central pillar of SWIFT's strategy, and our experiments carried out with Capgemini have achieved successful transactions between different CBDC networks, as well as with fiat to CBDC flows between these networks and a real-time gross settlement system. So I'd like to hear sort of what your thoughts are on this SWIFT solution, and if you believe it could eventually be adopted.
A very interesting statement. Of course, I think that SWIFT progress on this field makes completely sense. Mm-hmm. I think some central banks are somehow reinventing the wheel, but we have to be and we have to make sure that local initiatives can interact at a cross-border level, because if not, we will be moving backwards. So I think that this consideration should be taken into account, and they should be taken into account now in the design phase rather than in the future, since many of the design aspects that are actually being discussed right now will have very many implications or dependencies between the way that CBDCs could interact each other. And I think that when it comes to interoperability, and according to the statement you just mentioned, we have to work on two directions. First, on one hand, I think we have to work on the interoperability with current payment solutions, because we have, at least in Europe, a well-prepared instant payment or payment system, and we are moving to an instant payment system in the very near future, and we need to ensure that Data Euro or any other CBDCs could be somehow interoperable with these solutions, which are in the market and they are well known, and we are all very proud of how our market, our payment market, is actually operating. And on the other hand, I think that the other aspect that we should be working on is the interoperability with other CBDCs, mm-hmm. because we have to, I mean, we need a holistic view of the overall payment system worldwide, and we cannot be just focused on our local country or region, since our payments can go usually abroad, and we have to be prepared in order to somehow make, for instance, a digital dollar interoperable with a digital euro.
Yes, completely agreed. And as you said in the beginning, it makes sense, sort of, you know, SWIFT will become completely redundant if everyone shifts to CBDCs and they don't have a place in the landscape. And obviously having 11,000 banks as members, they're very well placed to come up with a solution. And also, as you rightly said, interoperability is the key word, because if everyone has a, you know, their own central bank, which isn't money, which isn't interoperable, then they're completely useful in terms of cross-border payments. So if we have someone like SWIFT coming up with a solution, sounds great. Let's see if it actually takes place in reality, because it's a lot of politics, a lot of you know, different stages. So we'll see if this actually rolls out or not. Now I'd like to focus your attention to the Digital Euro project, which I know you are very, very well versed in. Now, the European Central Bank has been researching and discussing the Digital Euro project, I think, since around 2021. The reason being, as admitted by the European Central Bank, it's a direct causal result of not only the rise of cryptocurrencies, but obviously the Libra stablecoin project, which was released by Facebook, but quickly put to bed in 2022 because of political and governmental pushback. Now, until recently, the digital euro design was still being discussed and finalized. However, just a few days ago, there was a leaked draft of a proposed digital euro bill, which was set to be proposed by the European Commission next week on the 28th of June. Now, a few days after the leaked bill and the proposed timeline, the EU puts the brakes on the deadline and puts the bill on hold. So sort of, what do you think is going on here? What happened? And what do you think the reason for the delay after the bill was leaked could have been?
Yes, as you mentioned, I'm really invested in this topic and following all the news. I think that the leaked document and the leaked regulation, we can talk afterwards about it and the design aspect it covers, it's a really relevant piece of legislation, because it aims at covering a lot of topics related to payments, related to the banking system, the obligation on credit institutions, or even to what extent the digital euro will be a legal tender. So I think that payment realities are different across the EU, and I guess that maybe member states are not in the same page when it comes to discuss this regulation. And I think that is why some of them pushed back. But of course, I think there are many impacts that should be considers when it takes to analyze this regulation, and also I think that there are many issues related to privacy that need to be addressed. And apparently, according to my sources, one of the hottest topics of the regulation has been the privacy related to the offline payments, because as you certainly know, we have a really strict regulatory framework related to AML and CTF regulations, and it should be clear to what extent the offline use case that has been proposed by the Commission, also by the ECB, could be included in the current framework, or to what extent this should be further analyzed. So I guess that there are many different interests among member states, and I guess that not all of them are in the same page when it comes to analyze the regulation.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Uh-huh. So there's not clear alignment, even though the bill was sort of drafted and set for proposal. And there are still some concerns, even after the finalization of the bill, with relation to privacy and offline payments. Okay, perfect. Now, there were various open questions regarding the digital euro design, including questions on privacy, interest rates, programmability, restrictions, limits, roles of payment intermediaries, offline access, and more. The bill states that if a digital euro is to be issued, that the rules governing the digital euro will be the ones in this bill if passed. Would you be able to give a high-level overview of some of the key design elements that the bill includes?
Yes, of course. I think that the Commission proposal revolves around 10 key design features, and whose definition is not always so much aligned with the progress reported so far by the ECB. Mm. But for instance, one of the main aspects is that the data euro will be legal tender. Even if it includes some exceptions that could apply, it will be legal tender. It will be distributed by PSD2 scope intermediaries. It won't be remunerated, so the Italeuro holdings will not be remunerated. But in order to prevent its use from being a store of value, they have established holding limits.
What is the limit?
Which have not been defined yet. Okay. So there is a mandate from the Commission to the ECB to further explore this aspect. Okay. They were talking about 3,000 euros at the very beginning of the project, but let's see what happens, because of course, if we are thinking of a homogeneous or similar limit across the EU, it's not the same for Spanish maybe citizens to have a 3,000 threshold compared to a German one. No, so we have to be
very low. You can't even buy a watch or a certain type of device, you know, sort of things, basically with 3,000 euros just for your shopping or every day. And also, as you're saying, in Switzerland or Norway versus, you know, Italy and Spain, it's completely different. It's a hard one.
Yes. And then there is also a mandate for the ECB in order to assess or to analyze what kind of compensation model would apply to the data euro. Because, of course, being a public good, we cannot charge fees for individuals. Mm-hmm. But we have to specify merchant fees and inter-PSP fees, interpayment service provider fees. Okay. And then another key aspect is that according to the Commission's proposal, the data euro could be accessed beyond the euro area. Okay. So this is also an interesting topic covered by the Commission. And also another key point I would like to highlight is the offline solution. Even if at the very beginning we didn't know if the offline solution was part of the basic services, it seems that yes, that both online and offline options should be available since the very first release. And this also has a lot of implication for the banking industry, because we have never been faced to deliver an offline payment solution. And further work on these aspects needs to be performed. So I guess that this will be like the main hot topics to be discussed by the European Parliament now and by the Council of the EU.
Okay, all right. So very limited to retail and with caps, and they're intended to be sort of a competition for, let's say, Revolut in a very sort of limited scope, for example. All right. And it seems to me that the digital euro is not very designed to become much of a success. So most likely I mean, the reason being that it will take away from the commercial banking system. So in a way, many people are asking, what's the point of this nonsensical rationale for such a bill? Where do they have efficient payment systems anyway in Europe, instant payments and whatnot? So do you have any idea of what the rationale for a bill designed not to become too much success?
Yes, well, if we go to the proposal of the Commission, the rationale behind as a state by the Commission is that on one hand we have the threat, potential threat coming from other CBDCs, let's say China or whatever, and then the other key aspects which has been mentioned many times by the ECB and by Panetta and also the think tank of the parliament is the concept of monetary anchor. And this, I think that this is the main rationale behind the euro, because as I said before, we are moving to a digital world, and the contest between physical and digital forms of money is entering the end game, and attention is all only turning to the digital world. And of course, what will happen in 3 years' time if people do not use cash for their daily payments and they just use digital forms of money? What will happen if, for instance, we have a big tech, as Facebook wanted to do some years ago, launching its own money? How can we explain to a child, our child, children, that commercial bank money is different from big tech's money? It will not be an easy task, because when we want to explain what is commercial money, we have to refer to public money, and we have to refer to the principle of convertibility between cash, which is public money, and commercial bank money, which is money, sovereign backed currency, issued by a regulated institution that has the privilege to issue commercial bank money. So I think it's just a defensive approach before being faced to the threat that new forms of private money will bring to the payment system.
Okay.
So I don't think that we have to analyze the digital euro as the potential new use cases it can bring to the markets, because I think that we are not thinking of a new, completely super interesting and value-added new means of payment. We are not moving toward this direction, but we are just creating, we are buying optionality in the digital world.
Okay, no, that makes sense.
From a central bank perspective.
They want to also get in the game. So it's a just-in-case project. So if the need arises in the future, we are semi-ready, or at least have our initial principles and rules of how we would roll out. So it's not an immediate thing, which if the bill passes, everyone's going to start, adopting or building these type of solutions. Which is obviously a bit of a misconception, because if a market sees a bill being rolled out, they will think it's not a just sort of a, for a just-in-case solution, but for a solution which will be implemented. And as a final question, Maria, so how do you see the CBDC space evolving? And do you have any projections for the future of any use or adoption of the digital euro? Basically, do you have hope in this bill?
I have hope. I have hope, but I think that, I mean, there is no rush. Yeah, no. Right now, I think that the biggest threats we were facing a couple of years ago are not there anymore.
True.
Of course, we have different countries exploring CBDCs, but apart from China, the landscape is evolving little by little. And when it comes to the crypto asset and other kind of initiatives related to private forms of value, are not there anymore, or at least if they are, they are not big enough to put pressure on the central, on the European Central Bank or on any other central bank in order to rush on this aspect. So I think that we have to really carefully assess how to issue the digital euro, because it's something new that needs to be really well communicated to the European citizens and to the citizens anywhere in the world. Because the first concern, when every time I am talking about digital euro, the first concern is privacy. And I think that this is a hot topic that needs to be addressed, because I don't think that digital euro is a way of controlling our lives. I think the rationale behind is another one, but we have to be careful with the design and how we want make it to coexist with other means of payments, because the use case won't be something super super attractive for citizens compared to what we have in in our local market. So my prediction is that this will follow its path, but we don't have to rush, and we have to carefully assess every aspect of the design.
Very, very diplomatic
and
ending.
Of the day. Yeah, no, that's true.
But yes, it's true.
And of course, we welcome the legislative proposal from the Commission, because we need the regulatory framework. So far, we have been following what the ECB has delivered so far, but of course, we need the regulatory framework for this order to accommodate to a new public good called digital euro.
Amazing. Yes, completely agreed. Clarity is always better than, you know, guessing games. Well, Maria, thank you so much for all your insights on the digital euro. Excellent discussion. Before I let you go, if you don't mind, I would just like to invite you for a round of I Call Bullshit. I'll read out a question or a statistic and just call bullshit or true or false. So Japan is one of the latest countries to enter the CBDC space. What do you think?
I would say true.
Yes, you are correct. So according to a piece published by CNBC in February 2023, Russia, Japan and Ukraine are the latest countries to enter the CBDC race. So Maria, correct. Firstly, thank you so much for joining the discussion. I really appreciate your input and your thoughts. And to you, our listeners, thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned for our next episode on the DLT pilot regime. And until next time, take care.